Kumlana Black Gemara, we are up to Dat Nun Vav Amid Beis on the bottom of the page. We're talking about the different activities that the members, the denizens of Yericho, were conducting themselves. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, three of them, the Rabban didn't approve of, but they didn't protest, and three of them, they actually protested. And the last thing we're talking about was they were being generous, and they gave payah from their vegetables as well to the poor. But the issue there was that vegetables you don't give payah from, and thereby the poor people, thinking that it is payah, qualified as payah, would not give them maaser, the due maaser, and they were eating crap that maaser wasn't given off to the Levi. Plus, the Levi lost out. You're being generous to the poor, but you deny the Levi their entitlements. So the rabbis totally disapproved of it, and we explained, so what were they thinking? We're talking about a specific case. We're talking about the leaves of a turnip, where the leaf of a turnip is not a perishable item, but not really because of its own, but because it's attached to the roots, or because they marinated it. And the question is, if something is not perishable for a side reason, how do we view that? Is that considered a non-perishable item, and therefore there is the din of payah, or is it inherently a perishable item, and therefore, there's no din of payah there. We're up to the bottom of the page. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned. Bodhi Shaina, in the beginning, Hoya Noist in payah, they used to give payah, Lalefes, they used to give payah. This is talking about the people of Yerichai. They used to give payah Lalefes to turnips, Ula Kruv, and to cabbage. It's the same idea, that they're a perishable item only because of something else, they're not perishable. So they consider them non-perishable items, and therefore they used to get paid from them. Okay. So that's opinion, Tanakama, that's opinion number one, these two items. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, and he says, af also le kaflet, also to leek. Leek also they gave payah. Now the way we understand right now is the Tanakama hold two things they used to give payah from, two vegetables, and Rabbi Yossi added a third, so he became three. That's one brisa. The Tanya Edel in another brisa, how you know in payah, they used to give payah in Yerichai, la lefes, the lekaflet. They used to give payah to a turnip, leave a turnip, and lekaflet, and to a leek. Sounds like a third opinion. And Abshimon says, af the kruv, also to cabbage, so it's three things. So it comes out Abshimon in this brisa, and Rabbi Yossi in the first brisa seemed to be saying the same thing, but the Tanakhama in the first brisa said it was turnip and cabbage, and the Tanakhama in the second brisa says turnip and leek. Sounds like our three opinions. Name a klasa tanoi have the three opinions here? Says Gemara, no. Loi no. Today tanoi have no two opinions. And we misunderstood. You think that Rabbi Yossi, when he says also le kaflet, also to leek, is adding a third item. No. He's taking away the cabbage and putting instead, filling it with leek. And the other brisa of Shimon says also cabbage. He's not saying it's a third thing. He takes away the leek and puts in the cabbage. So therefore, the Rabbi Shimon in this brisa is the Tanakhama of the first brisa, and Rabbi Yossi in the first brisa is the Tanakhama of the second brisa. So there's only two opinions here. Today, Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakhama of Rabbi Shimon, that is exactly Rabbi Yossi, because there are only two vegetables they gave payah from. And af does not mean adding a third, it means substituting your second item with this. And Tanakhama Rabbi Yossi, Hainu Rabbi Shimon, Umay afa kamaisa, I'm adding to the first piece that you said, first vegetable, this one, but not the second one that you mentioned. Tanakhama we learned. But we learned Ben Buhayin, Ben Buhayin, the son of Buhayin, seems to be they were wealthy people, and also Buhayin was not an ignoramus. Nosan Peya Layedek. So the son of Buhayin was generous, and he offered to the poor to come to the corner of his field of vegetables and take whatever they can take. Ubo Aviv came along the father, Umotzen Lanim, he found the poor people, Shoye, to Unin Yedek, they were carrying loads of vegetables with them, and they were standing on the entrance to his garden. Omelem, he said, Bonai, my children, so he's being very kind to them, and he said to them in a very convivial way, my children, in a respectful way, Hashlichu Malechem, please toss away all the vegetables that you took. And don't worry, don't fret, I'm not being stingy. I'm going to give you double whatever you took right now, but I'm going to give you from other vegetables that Maaser was taken from. Now, it was the same answer you have, but I'll give you double the amount, but I gave Maisa, so there's no issue here. Loi mipnei she'ein haitzara, not because I'm being stingy. Elim nei she'omre chacham, the rabbi said, ein noisin pei le'yedek. You do not give peya for vegetables. Because by giving peya the vegetables, you are denying levim their Maisa. Says the Gemara, lomelo lememro, why does he even have to say, I'm not stingy? The very fact that he offered them double what they had, obviously he's not being stingy. He doesn't have to in any way, you know, preempt his comments by saying, I'm not stingy. You know why he said that? In order to lelem, he shouldn't say the chuy kamatcha. Maybe he's just saying words. Words are cheap. He's saying that he's being generous, he'll give us double, so he would drop it. Once he dropped it, he'll give us nothing. So therefore, he had to give that introduction that he should, I'm not being stingy. Tais and all the Rishonim ask, even though there's no payah to vegetables, but the fact is that since the son declared that this is payah, what he did was he made it ownerless. And the moment something is ownerless, automatically you don't give maisa. So what did the poor people do wrong? Now that it happened, in other words, lichatchila you shouldn't give it payah because it's regular tvua, belongs to the levi and so on. But now that he made it payah, which means he made it ownerless, so the law is that you don't have to give maisa. So what's wrong if they take it and keep it? So Taisa answers, there's an argument by Hillel and Shammai, what's the law of payah? According to Beis Shammai, of Hefker, according to Beis Shammai, if you decide that this is Hefker for all the poor people in the world, that's a valid Hefker. But according to Beis Hillel, it is not Hefker unless it's Hefker la'anim vila'ashirim. It has to be Hefker to everybody. And because payah is only limited to poor people, not to rich people, it's not Hefker. Even though he's called it payah, it's not really Hefker. Not Hefker. Okay. Says the Gemara further, Tanya Rabbanan, a rabbi's taught, we'll explain now some of the activities of your people, Yerichai, but also similar activities of other people. But it's showing in the beginning, Hayamanichin Oiris. Now, when it comes to the Kabbanis, the Koyanim are entitled to receive their portion. And now, the way it works is that you had 24 groups of Koinim, Dovra Melech instituted 24 groups of Koinim, and every group ran for another week. So basically, Koinim worked 2 weeks a year. But within the 2 weeks, or within that week, each family of Koinim were broken down into six smaller families called Bati Ovis. So really, all they worked was one day of the week, and then on Shabbos, they all joined together. So they only worked, or on Yom Tov, they all joined together. They only worked one day a week. And that's all they did. So what happens to the skins as well? The skins all go to the Kohenim. And some days, you know, Monday might be a busy day and Tuesday is an inactive day. It's a luck of the draw. Whatever Kabban has come that day, that's your entitlement and that's it. So Bodhi Shain in the beginning, they used to take all the hides of all the skins and the hides of all the animals of that day, and they placed it Belishchas Beis HaParva. They placed it in the chamber of Beis HaParva, that was the name of the place. And there they used to put all the different hides, and la'edev, and every evening, that particular family, so that smaller family, the base of, would come in, and they would divide equally all the hides and skins and take it with them, and they would sell it and make money and so on. The people who were strong were very forceful. They would take larger shares, or take most of it by force. Hiskinu, so they decided, you know what, to fix these things up and not be intimidated by these strong armed men. Wait till Friday. So you have all six families of Koinin there together. There are a lot more people, so maybe the individual families, we have some people who are very strong minded, maybe they don't have the courage, or maybe they do have the courage, there are enough people there to put an end to it, and they can distribute everything equally. The Asin Kulu Mishmaris, all the groups would come. The Shoklin Bahadodi, and then they were divided equally. But Dayan still, Hayagdoyle Kohuna, Noitin, Noitin, Bazari. Then came along the officers, the heads of the family, and said, we're entitled. They're not the strong arm people, but they still said, we have covered, we deserve more than anybody else. Again, it wasn't fair. So they decided, better than some people getting more, some people getting less, we'll all get nothing. Amdu Baile Megdishin L'Shamayim. So the original owners went ahead together with the Kohenim. Now the original owners no longer own the skins. So really it's the Kohenim themselves. They went ahead and they say, you know what? All the skins, we're sanctifying it and giving it over to the Beis HaMikdash. This probably didn't happen forever. It happened for a while until the strong arm kohenim and the leaders realized that they gained nothing by pushing their weight around, because now they have nothing. And they started to behave and complied, and they all did equal amounts. But until then, this is what they did. They donated everything to Beis HaMikdash. Amru, we say, lahoy yom matim, in a very short time, just to give you an idea how many skins, because every single day, besides the normal kabbanas of the Tomish Shel Shachar, Tomish Menavayim, people brought their individual kabbanas, Nadarim and Nadavas, Shlomim and Titus and all that, they brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, and they added up very quickly. In a very short time, the Beis HaMikdash, what they do with these skins, they would sell them, and with the money, what would they do with the money? Achechifu is a hechel kulay, they covered an entire Beis HaMikdash b'tavloy shazav. With the golden skins, they covered the entire Beis HaMikdash with gold plate, because they bought with the money. That's what they did. They bought all of these gold plated things, and they it was beautiful. Shehein Amma al Amma ka'ove dinazov. It was the plates of an Amma by an Amma. Each one was an Amma, but it was thick ka'ove dinazov. It was thick like the coin of a dinner, which is quite thick. It wasn't just a very thin plate covering. Ulregel, and every time it came to Yamtiv, they would peel it off. They would place it on the steps to the Beis HaMikdash, so everybody who goes to the Beis HaMikdash, they would be presented with these beautiful golden steps. Royin, they would see, that their work is very nice, and the Ein Bodelim, and it's perfect, there's no problems with it. They would see how beautiful the Beis HaMikdash is. Like we learned, the nicest building in this community should always be the shul, and the Beis HaMikdash is beautiful. And this in a short time. So then after that happened, the Beis HaMikdash no longer needed all these skins. So they reverted back probably to the old custom. But the strong-armed men realized there's nothing to be gained by pushing their weight around. So Tana, we learned Abba Shol says. So again. We're talking about different takanas that were made for different reasons. Now we're going to go back to people Yerichai. Abba Shol said, Koyre Shol Shikma Hoye Berichai. So they had these beautiful sycamore trees. Now sycamore trees don't have too many branches, and they had very thick wood, good for beams and everything else. So they had these wood, the trunks of these sycamore trees growing in Yerichai. V'hoye Bal Yisroyis came along the strong arm people, and and they would take these beautiful trees by force and say, they're ours. Umdu Bailim, and people that weren't prepared to fight for it, and it wasn't pleasant. So what do? They would take these sycamore trees and say, these are ours, we're taking it. So what did the owners do? They couldn't defend themselves against these strong-armed people. So Amdu Bailim v'Higdishon L'Shamayim. They said, you know what? All the sycamore trees in Yerichai should belong to the Eibush, to belong to Beis HaMikdash. That was the story behind what we learned yesterday, that the sycamore trees regarding the branches, our fathers only consecrated the tree, not the branches. This is why they consecrated the tree in the first place, because they couldn't really enjoy the trees. These rough people came along and said, it's ours, so they just donated it. V'Alki Yeitz ben similar, Amar Abishol ben Bitnis v'Shom Abba Yosef ben Chonin. And similar to this, Abba Shol, the son of Bitnis, said in the name of Abba Yosef ben Chanan, in the name of Abba Yosef ben Chanan. Now, regarding people who are strong-armed people, the Gemara is giving examples of people who pushed their weight around, and they didn't gain anything. In fact, people did despise them, and so on. Like over here, they caused the people in Yerichai to donate it all to the Beis HaMikdash. By the Kohenim, they caused the Kohenim to donate all the skins to the Beis HaMikdash. So he said there were a number of families that the members of the family were very tough, very rough, and we should keep our distance from them. And he nominates them. Oili mebeis Baisum, woe is to me from the family of Baisum. Baisum was a Kohen Gadol. All of these are Kohen Gadolim. But it wasn't the problem so much them, it's more the problem of their families. Oili, woe is to me, ma'alasan, from their sticks. And oi in from the sticks, because they were very rough. And they used to beat people and subdue them to subject them to follow their will. So therefore, he said, I wish we have nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. And then he says, Oily Rebbeis Chanin. We don't know the details of these stories. Woe is to me from the family of Chanin. Oily Melechishasan. And woe is to me from the advice. They used to give they used to be very ready to give out terrible advice to people, which benefited them and harmed everybody that received their advice. Then he said, Oily Rebbeis Kassas. Woe is to me from the Beis Kassas. These are all families of Kainim Golem. Woe is to me, the family of the Kassas. Oily, and woe is to me, Mikul Moisa. They used to write, they were journalists, they used to write letters, and all the letters were defamatory. So the best thing is, have nothing to do with them, good or bad. Just keep away from them. Because today they might be good, and tomorrow, who knows what they'll write about you. Oily, the Beis Yishmol Ben Piyachi. Woe is to me from the family of Yishmol Ben Piyachi. And we'll soon see in the Gemara, Yishmol Ben Piyachi actually was a good person. It's his family. Oily, Megreifun. Woe is to me from their fists. Now look what he says, and this is a fascinating thing, and maybe something that we'll take a page out of what he's saying here. This family, Yishmol ben Piyachi, he was a Kohen Gadol. So what did he do? He started a thing called nepotism. Shehem Kohenim Gdolim, they were Kohenim Gdolim. Ubnei Hen, they were all Kohenim Gdolim. No, it was all four families. And Ubnei Hen Gizborim, they made sure that who was the treasurer, their children. They put their children in the place of the treasure. And the chasneim, the sons-in-law, they made amarkalin. And Rashi says amarkalin is a made-up word. Sometimes amarkalin means an architect. But here Rashi is a made-up word. It's made up of amar kule. They were totally in charge of all the affairs of the Beis HaMikdash. So amar kule. Everything was said based on what he had to say. The avdein, and then the servants, choyv tinas al maklis, would subject everybody to punishment if they didn't listen and comply with the wishes. So he did what he put his children here, his sons-in-law there. They ran the whole operation. And this is interesting. This is where nepotism comes in and why it's a terrible thing. And so this is the whole debate when it comes to a shul, whether a rabbi has the right, or maybe the entitlement, to put his son in as the next rabbi and his this and this and all the different positions of the shul, or every position has to be earned by other people who have to decide who should be in charge and whether the rabbi's son is most qualified. He shouldn't be in any way worse than anybody else, but nor does he have any priority over anybody else. So here from this Gemara here, you clearly see the Gemara does not like the idea of nepotism whatsoever. Says the Gemara. So we talked about their families. Torah Bar, we learned. Arba Tzvoche, there were four shouts. Tzavcha Zora, there were four shouts that the Beis HaMikdash used to scream out. In other words, a baskal, a voice came out of heaven and would ring out and say the following things. Rishona, the very first one, was Tzu Mikan Bnei Eli, the children of Eli, Chofni, and Pinchas, where he had the Gemara Shabbos there. That Shetimu Heichel Hashem, they contaminated the gods of the Beis HaMikdash, because it says in Tanakh that they used to sleep with all the women who used to bring their korbanos for having children. That's what the Pasuk says. The Gemara says in Shabbos from here over there that they didn't really sin, but what they did was they made them stay overnight, and they denied them going home to have relations with their husband. So it's as if that these Kohenim slept with them. But that's bad enough, because you didn't, people weren't enthusiastic about going to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's number one. Number two, another scream was, Tzei mikan Yisachar ish kvar bakoi, leave from here, Yisachar, who is a Kohen Gadol, the person from kvar bakoi, shemechabed es atzmai, because he used to honor himself, umechal kotche shemaim. He was a Kohen Gadol, but he was very fastidious, and I guess he had OCD, and therefore he was worried more about himself and then the covet of Hashem. And meanwhile, he desecrated the covet of Hashem. What did he do? He would put on, because they had to deal with blood and other things and gory things in the Beis HaMikdash, he decided he doesn't want to stain himself, so he would wear gloves made out of silk. And then he'd do the avodah. So in a way, he assaulted Hashem. So having blood in Hashem's house, that's not a problem. But me, chas v'shalom, to get dirty and stain my clothes, stain my hands. So therefore, he actually insulted Hashem. And what's wrong with wearing those gloves? It is a chatzitza. It's an interruption. It intersects between his hand and the base and the kachim. It says in the pasuk, "V'lokach ha-koyin." The koyin should take directly. So the question that Tais and all the Rishonim asks: how come by lulav we say that that you're allowed to take a lulav and hold. You're allowed to take a lulav, not holding directly the lulav, but wrap something around the lulav and hold the lulav there. Why isn't that called a chatzitza? What's the difference? And if you look at Minig Ashkenaz, they have their in Chabad and others, we have the rings around the lulav itself. So when we hold on the lulav, we're holding the lulav. But you have in Nusach Ashkenaz, they have these knots and these that wrap around the bottom of the lulav, and that's what they're holding. Why isn't that a chatzitza? What's the difference between this and that? And Tosfos makes a difference. The reason said is a difference whether it's around your hand or around the lulav. If it's wrapped around the lulav, then it's there to hold the lulav in place or to hold the hadassim and the aravas all together in the lulav. So therefore, it is secondary to the lulav and becomes ancillary to the lulav. It becomes part of the lulav. But here we're talking about a glove around the hand of the kohen, and that's considered a hefsik. So I don't know if you know, but there was a big debate the sukkahs, when if you go bench lulav with somebody, and because of coronavirus, maybe they should be wearing gloves, usually because different people are going to be sharing the same lulav, and there's a whole question of whether you're allowed to wear gloves. And the truth of the matter is, I saw what everybody wrote, and they were all wrong. They're all 100% wrong, because they looked all in the wrong place. There was no problem wearing gloves, because even within gloves itself, even though in Hilchas lulav, that's where everybody looked, it says clearly you shouldn't wear a glove. Like I just told you, Tosfos says right here. But they didn't look in Hilchos Tefillin. Because in Hilchos Tefillin, it talks about the same thing. We have to wear a cast or wear something around your hand in the Chatzitza Tefillin. And basically, what comes up is as follows. If it's something that's removable, or something that you're not wearing, you don't need it really, you're just wearing it for beauty or something else, and it's not really part of your hand, that's called a Chatzitza. But if it's something that's necessary for your hand, to cover your hand because you have a blemish or whatever it is, then it becomes part of your hand and it's not a chatzitza. And these gloves were not for beauty. They were there to save your hand that you don't to become a medium to transferring a disease. Then they become buckled to your hand and there was absolutely no problem whatsoever to have gloves on you shaking the lulav. But nobody asked me, so I didn't have a chance to tell anybody. Actually, only one person did ask me. But I was reading everybody, all these rabbis around the world, and they all, sorry to say, got it wrong because they quoted the wrong part of Shulchan Aruch. Because the main Shulchan Aruch talking about Chatzitza is not in Hilchos Lulav. It was in Hilchos Tefillin. Hilchos Lulav was just brought down by the way. And therefore it's very short, didn't go into any details. But anyway, we'll continue. Says the Gemara further, so we're not happy with the family of Avi. We're not happy with this person. Here we're not happy with the person, the Kohen Gadol himself. In a way, he made a chil Hashem that his covet is more important than the covet of Hashem. And we'll soon see what the outcome of that was. Then the Gemara says, third thing that Zara screamed out was, Su'u she'adim l'sheichem. The first two were terrible, bad things. The next two will be good things. Open your gates. This is what we say regarding Hashem. Su'u she'adim l'sheichem. He used the same pasuk for a human. The Yechonis Yishmol ben Piachi. Let Yishmol ben Piachi, who was a Kohen Gadol, Talmid Shel Pinchas, who was a student of Pinchas Kohen Gadol, even though they didn't live in the same time, but he was so, the way he behaved, he was just like his great-great-grandfather Pinchas, or his teacher. The Yishamish B'Kohen Gadol, let him continue serving Kohen Gadol, because he did the right thing. We will soon see what he did. And furthermore, Tzavcho Azor, the Azor also screamed out, now Yishmol ben Piachi, we just said before, if you remember, just before the four families that he says, woe is to me, and one of them that he said was, Yishmol ben Piachi, woe is to me from the family Yishmol ben Piachi, because they fists. But again, that was his family, and he wasn't responsible for them. He himself, personally, was a great person. He himself was a very good Kohen Gadol, and so therefore we were happy to have him as a Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, and they use expression su'u she'adim l'sheichem. Says the Gemara further. And in fact, the reason, probably, because we don't know exactly what he did. The next one we'll see. The reason probably that Baskin came out is that people should understand, when we cursed out that family, we deliberately omitted Yishmol ben Piachi himself, because he was exceptional. He was very good. But people, he would have been tainted by the rest of his family. So therefore, Baskel came out and said, but Yishmol ben Piachi, he's a good guy. and separate him from the rest of his family. And then the Gemara says, "Va'oytzav chazar." Was one more cry that the Zohar made. So Usha Arim Rosheichim v'Yechanes Yochanan ben Arboi. Let Yochanan ben Arboi come in. We're having more humor as well. Talmidei shel Pinkoi, the student of Pinkoi, and also Krisos. V'Yemalei Krisoi Mekotshe Shemaim. And you know what's so special about him? Because he ate up all the kachim of the day. Amr Elav Yochanan ben Arboi. So Yochel, he would eat. If you take it literally, it sounds like he would eat. Oichel gimel meis agolim, he had 300 calves. V'shoyse gimel meis garbe yain, drink 300 barrels of wine. V'oichel aboyin saw, he would eat the measure of 40 saw of goizles of chickens, bikinuach, so that just as dessert. And what's so good about that? Amru, they said, kol yomov shel yechem ben adaboy, in his lifetime, le'nimtza noise b'migdash. There was never, ever a problem of having leftover base of migdash. So Rashi Ray tells us, don't take it literally that he personally ate all that, but rather learn that he used to allow all the kohenim, whether it's their day on, the day off, their week off, to come to his house and eat this so they can train, they can hang around the Yerushalayim, and where would they eat? So his house was an open house, and all the leftover kachim would be brought to his house, and he invited all these kohenim to eat by him. So he ensured that there was never any leftovers. Says the Gemara, okay, now the Gemara goes back to Yisachar ben Ishkar ben Koyi. So what actually happened to him at the end? So he made a Chil Hashem, a Kans Chil Hashem, more concerned with his personal hygiene than the Eivishtas. So my Salkabei, so what was his end of him? Be Yisachar Ishkar ben Koyi. Now interesting, because the word Yisachar comes from the word Schar, which means reward, or the opposite. So what happened to him? Amri, they say, a story as follows, which we had in Krisis. Malka Malchus, there's the end of Krisis. Malka Malchus, you had the king and the queen, Yani HaMelech and his wife. His wife was the sister of Shimon Shatach. We were once having a debate. Now, Yani was a tough guy. He killed out all the rabbis. They all had to flee. If you remember, Shimon Shatach ran to Mitzrayim and he tried to bring the Tzedukim in because they all said, the Rabbanim said, that he's not a valid queen, because he comes from the family of Chashmonaim. But his mother was once taken captive, and therefore we automatically assume that a goy had relations with her, and therefore she's a halal and so on. Aviyasvid was sitting, Malka Oma, the king said, Gadiyo, if you take the best meat of a goat is far better than a sheep, than lamb. Well, Malka Oma, the queen said, Imriyo, if you take the best quality meat of a sheep and a lamb, a sheep of a lamb and of a goat, lamb is better. Amru, they said, man muchach. So who should we ask? A chef? How often do they? The best thing is kohen gadol. The kamasi kabonas kol yom. Every day they had kabonas, goats and lambs, and they would eat it every day. So he would right away, if you eat one day lamb and one day goat, maybe you can't really tell the difference, or you can't really remember how good or how bad that was. But if you eat them mamish one after another, you can tell you which is a great delicacy. So let's ask with kohen gadol. Asa iu. So he came along, this is Sachar Ish Kvar Bar Koi. He came along, he was also very arrogant. Achve biyade, he showed with the point of the finger, didn't even bother talking. He just pointed the finger as if, you know, it could be bothered getting involved in your conversation, it's nonsense. I gadi yo, he basically motioned, if a goat was better. Yosigla Tamida, you think we would make if a goat was better? Don't you think that would be the carbon tumid every day? And the Torah is clear. A keves a echatasa ba boiker, the keves a echatasa ba boiker. We do lambs, not goats. What does that prove? And for a carbon, you have to give the best carbon. So a lamb is obviously better than a goat. But he said it in such a disparaging way that he insulted the king. Amma Malchus said the king, Hoyil v'lahavilei mosa de Malchusa. The guy had absolutely no respect for the monarch, for the office of the king. And you know what? And in addition, he passed him like the queen, not me. That's insulting enough. But the way he said it, Nifsikuli yimine, will chop off his right hand. And this is mida keneged mida. Because you do all your activity. Remember, we learned in Gemara in Zvachim that a kohen does all the activity with the right hand. And he put a glove on the right hand. It shouldn't get stained. So therefore, he lost his right hand. He can no longer do an activity with the Mikdash. What he did was, Yohav Sheikhet, he bribed the guard, Upaskel Ismail, and said they cut off his left hand. Shama Malka, the king, heard about it. Upaskel Yimini, chopped off his right hand as well. He lost both hands. And because also in the activities of the Kohen Gadol, they would also have the left hand sometimes supporting, carrying the keli and so on. Omer Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, Baruch Rachmana, praises the Eibishter, the Ashkele liyisachar ishkvar b'koi, that he dealt with Yisachar ishkvar b'koi, limitrefase b'nei b'hayama, to get punished in this world. Because we're going to learn the Gemara Kedushin, the end of the first parak, that if you get punished in this world, then you go to Gan Eden, you don't have to go to Gehenna for that Aveiros, so you can go to Gan Eden. So he actually benefited from this, that he got punished for his arrogance in this world, so that he was able to go to Gan Eden, because otherwise he was a good guy. This is what his problem was. Omer Rav Asher, Rav Asher said, Yisachar ishkvar b'koi, this person, Yisachar ishkvar b'koi, loi tana masnisin, not only was he arrogant, he didn't know a clear Mishnah. He was saying, he was wrong. He said, apart from the fact that he was insulting to the king, he was wrong. He said that what a goat is the inferior to a lamb. It's not true. That now we learned in a Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer, kvasim koidmin l'izim b'chol makom, generally, wherever it says in the Torah, it always says sheep first before goat, and keves imeis. Yachal, I would have thought, but Nezhar Chorim Minas, I would have thought the reason is because it's better quality. Tamil Leimer. Therefore, we have a pasuk where it says, by Karmel Chattas, v'im keves, if it says, im keves yavi kabonai, and if you bring a lamb, it says in the pasuk, and then it, and if you bring a lamb, as if to say you have a choice of goat or lamb, and they're both the same. They are both equal. It says in the pasuk before, it says, the heavy as kabani should bring the carbon, se'idas izim, goats. And then the next pasuk says, ve'im kevin, but if you bring a lamb, and blah, 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 etc., etc. So what do we see from there? That the goat and the lamb are exactly the same, because by Karmel Chattas mentions goat first. So therefore, obviously, that the Yisachar ish kvar b'koi was wrong, doesn't even know a Mishnah. Comes along, Ravina, he says, I feel a mikra nam l'krof. Forget it, let's say he didn't know the Mishnah. But even a pasuk in Chumash didn't know. The Ksiv, it says in one pasuk, im kesev by Karmel Shlomim. It says, im kesev, if you bring a sheep, and then another pasuk says, v'im eiz kabana, if a goat is zaraya, e boy keves lice, if you want, you can bring, there's no preference. You want, you can bring a sheep, and e boy eiz lice, you want, you can bring a goat. There's no preference one over the other. So in fact, he didn't even know a pasuk. So that is, this finishes the first half of Psachim, the two halves of Psachim. That's why the Gemara is called Psachim in plural, because there's two parts to it. The first part is all about Pesach, and the second part is all about the Korban Pesach, and the very last Perek goes back to Pesach. But in between, we talk about the Korban, which all to do with Erev Pesach. And interesting, in yesterday's Gemara, the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam, when he talks about hiding the Book of Medicine, there's a Ramban in Chumash. So he talks about it, I think I told this yesterday, he talks about that the Rashi says, Shlomo HaMelech wrote the Book of Medicine, and people, you know, following the medicine, and therefore they were no longer relying on Hashem, and the Rambam says it's nonsense. What about every time you're hungry, you eat food? What are you eating food for? You don't eat and rely on Hashem. But obviously, this is all from Hashem, so is the medicine from Hashem. And others say, no, because food you make a bracha, so therefore you obviously, you show your gratitude, you express your gratitude to Hashem, but by medicine you don't. And therefore, you're not expressing your gratitude to Hashem. So if everything has a cure, you won't turn to Hashem, you won't rely on Hashem, you won't daven. The Ramban writes a Chumash in Parshas B'chukosai, on the Pasuk Cherev L'Savar B'Artzchem. The Ramban writes that even though the Gemara Baba Kama, we'll learn towards the end, brings that Mekan Nitin Rishus L'Reifa L'Rapas, the Torah gave permission for a doctor to heal, says the Ramban, but nowhere does the Gemara say Mekan Nitin Rishus L'Choyle L'Hisrapas, that a sick person has the right to go to a doctor to get healed. And the Ramban says, in fact, it's wrong to go to a doctor. In a way, it means you're denying the existence of Hashem. What are you going to a doctor for? Rely on Hashem. That's what the Ramban writes there, which is highly perplexing. The Tur Shulchan Aruch brings it down, and the Taz wants to say that the Ramban there is talking to great tzaddikim like Yosef HaTzaddik, who lost out and spent another 2 years in jail, in prison, because he asked the Sar HaMashkim to remember him for Pari. He should have relied on Hashem. It's only someone on the level of Yosef HaTzaddik that should be this way. Everyone else has a mitzvah to go to a doctor to cure themselves. That's how the Taz understands the Ramban, and so on. And then you see from the Rambam, says that you need to rely on Hashem and don't rely on a Sefer Refuos, which sounds a little bit like that, even though the Rambam himself was a doctor. Okay, we'll stop over here. We continue tomorrow, Mr. Shabbos.